If you've ever shared God's message with somebody, you've noticed that probably in this world that some just don't want to hear it. And they'll do whatever it takes, however ridiculous, to shut that message out. The pastor who talks to someone finds them shutting the door on their face and turning away. Or maybe they're talking to someone on the phone and the person simply just hangs up because they don't want to hear it. Maybe you've experienced this as you speak the word of God to someone, and you tell them the truth of the word, and they just silence you. And there's Stephen, this man who's speaking of Jesus, being rejected. You know, I look at him and sometimes I wonder, is that the way that I would measure up? Do I give such a bold witness that people around me notice that I'm speaking always of Jesus? God said, I'm sending you. I'm sending you to open their eyes, to turn them from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins.
The following is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, reaching out with Rock Solid Hope in Rim Country, May 13, 2018. This message is based on Acts 7, 54-60.
After the Civil War, some people thought that Abraham Lincoln needed to take some really strong punitive measures against the rebellious southern states. And rightly so, he should have, right? They were raging a rebellion and waging war, and really based on an immoral cause. And surely Abraham Lincoln had every right to make them pay the cost of the war and to make retribution. But he surprised a lot of people by his approach. It wasn't what you'd expect when you've successfully put down a rebellion. He actually did not desire them to rejoin the Union as lesser states, but gave them full statehood again. And he didn't want them to remain in beaten humiliation, but rather to be restored and to heal. Why? You see, Abraham Lincoln didn't want them to remain his enemy. He wanted to have a full and lasting peace and a restored union back in the country. Some people, really on both sides, thought this was an astounding and remarkable approach. This morning, as we conclude our look at the book of Acts, and we look at how the gospel advances, we're going to look at one more way that the gospel advances. And it's also by a remarkable and astounding approach to opposition. You see, the good news advances, as we'll see as we look at Stephen this morning, as God brings you to love your enemies. Stephen was a disciple of Jesus that really worked in the background. He was a welfare worker, appointed to work out in the distribution of the food for the poor for the church in Jerusalem. And yet Stephen wasn't a Christian that was someone who just disappeared entirely in the background. He was, in fact, so bold in his speaking of the message of God and his personal witness that he gathered the attention of a lot of the Jewish leaders and the synagogue rulers. So much to the point that they dragged him in front of the court of the Sanhedrin, which is the Jewish ruling religious body, the very same people who not that long ago had put Jesus on trial and condemned him to death. And now the charges are brought against Stephen, this Christian witness. The charges were that he was speaking against God, speaking against Moses, and speaking against the law of God. So Stephen makes his defense. If you ever want a good summary of the history of the Israelites and the people in the Old Testament, check out Acts chapter 7 and read through Stephen's speech. He basically outlines the history of the people of Israel and God graciously providing for them, doing goodness for them, giving them gift after blessing. And yet, right alongside the whole history of that people, Stephen points out there's rebellion, there's rejection, there's sin against their Lord and their wonderful God. And then, as if it wasn't bold enough to stand before this crowd and to make his testimony and witness, Stephen then tells them the same rebellion is happening today because God sent the Christ And pointing to this Sanhedrin, he says, "You condemned him to death and you killed him." Basically saying, "You killed God's son. You're guilty of it." Talk about a bold witness of the truth. Well, the response that the Sanhedrin gives shouldn't surprise us too much. It says on hearing this, they covered their ears and they began to shout out so that they wouldn't hear him anymore. It says they were cut to the heart and they were basically furious at him. It shouldn't surprise us, right? If you've ever shared God's message with somebody, you've noticed that probably in this world, that some just don't want to hear it. And they'll do whatever it takes, however ridiculous, to shut that message out. The pastor who talks to someone finds them shutting the door on their face and turning away. Or maybe they're talking to someone on the phone and the person simply just hangs up because they don't want to hear it. Or maybe you've experienced this as you speak the word of God to someone, and you tell them the truth of the word, and they just silence you. See, Stephen wasn't out looking to make them upset. He had witnessed many times before, and he brought many people to hear the good news of Jesus. Sometimes, though, when you share the good news, people need to hear the law of God and the need for a Savior. So Stephen boldly speaks of that. But what sort of response did he get when the people got angry at him and started shouting and covering their ears? Well, Stephen didn't have to worry about it. You see, God gave him the very words he needed as God opened up a vision of heaven for him, and Stephen then saw Jesus in glory. And then standing in front of them, he says, "Look, I see heaven open, and there's Jesus at the right hand of God." Basically, that Jesus you killed, he's alive. He's living. He is the Lord. At this, you can imagine the response he got. The Spirit gave him just what he needed to point out. The same Jesus who was killed is God over all and Lord. He is the one you must turn to. He is the one who opens heaven. Stephen shared the message that they needed to hear. But the response, once again, we see is they now drag him out, and they're pulling him out of the city as an angry mob in order to pelt him to death with stones. That's what happens sometimes when the gospel advances. We've seen that as we look at the book of Acts. Sometimes there is a violent and instantaneous rejection. And there's Stephen, this man who's speaking of Jesus, being rejected. You know, I look at him and sometimes I wonder, is that the way that I would measure up? Is that the way I'd be compared? Do I give such a bold witness that people around me notice that I'm speaking always of Jesus? The devil, he wants us, and he plays to our fears, he wants us to be silent, to not make a scene or to mention something that might upset anybody when it comes to the word of God and who Jesus is. And I'm a pastor, and would I be labeled as someone who's always speaking of Jesus to the point that some people would take note of it like they did for Stephen? And consider his situation. You might say to yourself, well, of course, I'm not a pastor. Why would I draw attention like he did? Well, he wasn't either. He was simply a servant under the welfare program in God's church. But he gave such a strong personal witness that it drew such attention, and he spoke with such boldness. You know, when you think about the end of your life, what do you want said of yourself? You want it said that epitaph on your tombstone or your grave didn't cause much of a scene, was content to stay in the background and not speak out too boldly, didn't upset anybody by anything he said, didn't speak of Jesus when he needed to, didn't speak out? Would you rather have it said, pointed to Christ always, spoke of Jesus in every situation, and even with their dying breath, was pointing people to Jesus? That's what Stephen had. And the response was he was now on his knees being pelted to death with stones. The good news, however, was advancing through him, even in this situation. Let me take you back now as we conclude our look at the book of Acts. I want to take you back further than Stephen did. He took them back to the beginning of the Israelites and their rebellion. I want to take you back to the very beginning. And there we see it. Rebellion. Starting with Adam, rebelling and taking that breath and life with God, which God gave him, and all of God's goodness, and turning against his God. The perfect union that was between God and humankind shattered because of the rejection of mankind, of their God. And that permeates not just through Israel's history, but from everyone after Adam and Eve and all mankind. And the hearts that we were born with is one that rejects our God, and rather than enjoying peace and union with him, rebels against his will. How God ought to respond to this? God in love does not respond as he ought. God ought to put down the rebellion. God ought to destroy the rebellious. But God chooses to send his Son. And there we see all along history, yes, during the time of Israel, but the whole world until this very day, we see the working and the grace of God with the world of sinners that have rejected him and God's plan to bring it forgiveness. Imagine how remarkable the response was as God's Son in human flesh was there and the soldiers struck him, but he didn't fight back. He didn't curse them. Imagine how the Jewish leaders felt when they saw him finally being nailed to that tree and the soldiers drove those nails and he says, "Father, forgive them." And they see the mercy of God hand in hand, even as he confronts his enemies. And that same Jesus who died on the cross is alive. And he did proclaim peace and mercy to the world that has rejected him. That's why he came, to bring forgiveness, not just for the Israelites and for the people that crucified him, but for all of us, that we are not set aside from our God. We're not members of a lesser union or peace or person. We are at full harmony and peace with our God who forgives the rebellious. Why? Because God wants us to be in a lasting and perfect union and peace with him. So he comes to bring forgiveness. That's what Stephen is doing now as he advances the gospel. Imagine what's ringing in the ears of those who had once been plugging their ears because they didn't want to hear him, but now they can't plug their ears because they're hurling stones at him to kill him. And with his dying breath, Stephen, who has just said, "Jesus, receive my spirit," is another testimony. It says he cries out in a loud voice that his killers, his murderers can hear him. "Lord Jesus, don't hold this sin against them." Imagine those who killed him. They're thinking and they're hearing. He was not about hate. He was not about attacking. He was about love, forgiveness. And the God Jesus that he proclaimed also said that same thing before our very ears. Forgive them. See, Stephen gave a witness, even with his dying breath, that the God of all grace responds to a world of rebellion with forgiveness. You might say to yourself, "Well, did that make any result? After all, he was killed, and his killers had no consequences. It doesn't seem like any of them turned to faith." But Luke points out for us, there's one man there who's watching all this. His name was Saul. He was well advanced in his learning in the law of God as a Pharisee, and he would become someone who would be zealous for killing Christians. And he was standing there approving of the murder of Stephen. That one man, Saul, you can imagine he didn't forget this, that what he heard cried out from Stephen was forgiveness. Maybe it wasn't the first Christian martyr of death, perhaps it was, but you can be sure he didn't forget what Stephen cried out. And as he went on pursuing and killing more Christians, you can imagine he saw and heard much of the same. God used that man, Saul, and turned him from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the kingdom of God, and the good news advanced. And still today, through God's people, when hate is shown, love is given. When harm is given, forgiveness is offered. The love of God is given even to those who are considered perhaps by this world's standards enemies. But by God's standards, those whom he desires to have perfect union and peace through forgiveness. The good news advances as he brings you to love your enemies. We've been looking at all the people in the book of Acts that have advanced the gospel. We saw how Tabitha, how Lydia, Peter, Paul, Stephen, other people that are part of the church, advanced the good news in the various callings and vocations they had because God was working through them. God also advances the gospel through you as you show love to this world, forgiveness, even to your enemies. And so the good news advances. These past 6 weeks, we have seen how the good news advances as God takes away your fear and he emboldens you to speak his good news. We saw the good news advances as he moves you to support the spread of his gospel, as he gives you faithful shepherds, as he gives you a special calling, and as he brings you to love your enemies. And then what's carried out through you is the same as what we saw through that man who watched Stephen die. God said to him, "I'm sending you. I'm sending you to open their eyes, to turn them from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins." You know, the man, Abraham Lincoln, wasn't alone in his efforts. A man about 100 years later also tried to accomplish things by the same means, through love. Martin Luther King Jr., about 100 years after Lincoln's time, said, "You can't drive out darkness with darkness. Only light can do that. You can't drive out hate with hate. Only love can do that." He said it pretty well. But like Lincoln, about 102 or 3 years later, he also was killed by those who opposed him. But see, the man who leads his kingdom is a far greater man with a far greater cause that cannot stop. Yes, he was killed. But Jesus is alive, and his good news will advance as he moves you to spread that word and to love your enemies. Amen.